John the Baptist was most probably one of the most significant and the greatest prophet of the Old Testament. And John the Baptist was prophesied. His life and his ministry was prophesied by Isaiah, who said that he is the voice in the wilderness, the voice in the desert that came to prepare the way for the Messiah. And John the Baptist was a man that lived in the desert. He was a man that was raised by God with a specific purpose. And it was so amazing in that time to see the fulfillment of that prophecy of Isaiah when John the Baptist started his ministry by saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And what a powerful message that was. It is that same prophet that went throughout Jordan and its regions to spread the good news. This message that the kingdom of God has arrived, that the kingdom of God has come near, and that everyone should prepare themselves. And he did it in a particular way through baptism, a baptism of repentance. And one day Jesus himself came to John. And John reluctantly received Jesus because Jesus came to him and said, "John, I need to be baptized." And John responded by saying, But Lord, surely I should be baptized by you." And John was objecting to this very notion, and Jesus insisted, and reluctantly John baptized Jesus. And as he did so, he saw the Holy Spirit ascend like a dove and rest upon Jesus. And then he heard this voice from heaven that said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." And in that moment when John saw the Holy Spirit ascend and remain on Christ, he knew this is the one, this is the Messiah. And shortly after, we read here in John chapter 1 from verse 29. "And he went, and the next day he saw Jesus coming towards him, and he said these powerful words, 'Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.'" One of the most loaded sentences spoken by any Old Testament prophet. John saw the Messiah coming towards him and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." It was so significant, it was so loaded, and it was spoken to an audience that was well familiar with the Holy God, well familiar with the consequence of sin. And here, John the Baptist proclaiming that the Lamb of God has come to take away the sin of the world. You know, humanity's greatest dilemma is our sin. Our sin in relation to an holy God and an eternal God. Our greatest dilemma is that one day with our sin we'll have to face this holy God. And his righteousness demands justice. Our greatest dilemma. And you know what? With sin comes guilt. And with guilt comes consequence. And that consequence, that penalty, is death. And John spoke to this audience that was well familiar with it. You know, sin in our life is not just something that has been done, but it has consequence. With that sin comes guilt. And guilt is like a rope that is tied to us, that keeps us connected with our wrong. The stuff that we've done in the past, you know, that is what guilt is. Guilt connects us back to our very sin that we have committed. It ties us to our past. It's like an umbilical cord that keeps us connected to the things that we have done. And you know what? No matter what we try to do, there is something that holds us back to that very act. And that something that holds us back is guilt. Guilt is more than just a fact. It's a fact because we have sinned, but it is also a feeling that we're well familiar with. It is a feeling within ourselves that devalues us before God and in our own eyes. It is something that can consume us as it ties us back to the thing that we have done. It seems to remind us to consistently put the past in front of us, and it has the potential to eat us within. And you know what is so amazing about guilt? When our sin is exposed, it becomes even greater. And even though we try to get away from it, it always keeps us back to the very act that we have committed. It is the very thing that forces us, drives us to hide from God. Because as I want to come to God, I'm constantly reminded of something in the past that will prevent me from coming before God. And it has this tendency to drive me away from God, to want me to hide from Him. Because I realize He is a holy and awesome God, and even though I want to come to Him, this thing keeps me tied to the very act that I know I need to give an account for. You remember in the garden, Adam and Eve, the moment that they sinned, they hid from God. Even before God approached, they were afraid. Because guilt brings this fear within us, fear of judgment, fear of rejection. And man's natural tendency, man's natural response is to hide from God. That is the power of guilt in our lives. It is so powerful to see that how many people's identity is shaped by their past because of the guilt in their life. And here John the Baptist comes and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." How powerful is that? You know what? The audience understood what he was speaking about. They understood the holiness of God and they understood the consequence of sin. And when John spoke to them, how powerful that was. You know, the law in itself and its sacrificial system made it very clear the consequence of sin. I mean, every time you sin, you had to make an animal sacrifice. Something had to die. Something had to die to make amends for what you have done. There can be no atonement without the shedding of blood. You know, in Leviticus, God spoke to His people and He said, "For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar." It is the blood that makes atonement for one's sin, for one's life. In Hebrews 9, we read that, "In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed by the blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." So the context in which John the Baptist spoke was very clear. He says, "There is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." What a powerful statement. What amazing good news for those who understood it. He was declaring something far more powerful than what we sometimes understand. He was setting the stage. He was preparing the way for the fulfillment of all the law and the prophets. Everything in the past, the entire sacrificial system, the Old Testament, the sacrifices, the festivals, everything was a shadow of the good things that was about to happen. And here, John, the great prophet, had the privilege to announce the fulfillment, setting the stage that it is about to be fulfilled. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. It's interesting, he didn't say, "Behold the Messiah." Because he was setting the stage. He was preparing the way. Creating an expectation for the fulfillment of all the things before. I mean, it's interesting, even if you look at the history of the nation of Israel, you know what? When they came to Egypt, they were not a nation. I mean, Israel only really became a nation once they left Egypt. Before Egypt, they were only a family. I mean, when Joseph came to Egypt and he brought his father and his brother and their family over, Israel was only a family. It's only in Egypt that they grew in numbers. And only when God called them out that they established an identity. Before that, they were slaves. They had no identity as a nation. They were simply a group of slaves. But during the exodus out of Egypt, the events, the festivals, and the law that they received, that is when they really gained their identity. You know, Egypt in the Old Testament is a metaphor of our old life, our captivity to sin, our bondage to something that we cannot get free of. It's amazing that Israel got their identity not in their captivity, but in their freedom. And the reason I throw this in is because, you know what, there are some people here tonight that your identity is still shaped by your captivity. It's still shaped by your past and not by your freedom. There are so many Christians that are still shaped by the things that they have done instead of their freedom in which they live. And I really believe that the Lord wants to set us free so that we can find our identity in our freedom and not in our past. Because that is why Jesus came, to set us free. You know what? There are so many things that makes us think about ourselves, feel about ourselves, that is tied to something that has happened in the past. Something that we have done, you know. And so many Christians walk with this rope around themselves that ties them back to invent long ago. You know, the stuff that is still tying you back to your past. You know, guilt is not the only thing that ties us to our past. You know, there's another thing that is also very powerful that ties us to our past. It's called unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is the same thing, you know what? Unforgiveness ties me back to a person and an event. It's like that umbilical cord that connects me to that person. You know what? That's what makes unforgiveness so powerful. Because it ties me back to that person. It ties me back to that event. And you know what? I can never seem to get free. That offense in my heart, you know, that yucky feeling, that anger, that frustration, that vengeance that offense has. You know what? It can eat you up. But you know, unless you set that person free, you will always be connected to that event. And Christ has come to set us free. But this morning or this evening, I want to share around another cord, and that's called guilt. The day that the nation Israel was established, it's very interesting. Their identity was established in their freedom, but there's something specific that took place. There's something specific that gave birth to this nation, that gave birth to their identity, that gave birth to the promises of God in their destiny. It's something specific that took place, and even to this day, it is still the greatest festival in the Jewish calendar. It is called the Passover. Remember that day, the seventh plague, when Moses came to Pharaoh, and he said, God said, you must let my people go, but Pharaoh was stubborn. And then God spoke to Moses to speak to his people and said, you must take a lamb. You must take a spotless, innocent lamb. And I want you to sacrifice it. I want you to take the lamb and I want you to kill it. And then I want you to take the blood. I want you to take the blood of the lamb and I want you to capture it. I want you to pour it in a container. And I want every person to go to their doorposts. And I want you to paint that blood on your doorpost. The blood of the Lamb. Because in your obedience, in your faith, in the sacrifice, you know what? I'm going to set you free. I'm going to establish you. I'm going to make you my own people. And something amazing happened on that day. As we know that the angel of the Lord came by. The angel of death. And that angel was looking for one thing and one thing only. The angel of death came to every single door in the nation of Egypt. And everywhere he saw the blood, you know what the angel did? He passed them over. That's where the name comes from, the Passover. Because everywhere he saw a door with the blood, he passed the home over. It had nothing to do with who was inside of the house. It had nothing to do with how great you were. It had nothing to do with how small you were. It had nothing to do whether you had an upright life or a shameful life. It had nothing to do with who you were or what you did. It had everything to do with the blood. It had everything to do with the absence or the presence of the blood. If the blood was there, you were passed over. If the blood was not there, you faced the consequence. And here, John the Baptist said, here is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of God, of the sin of the world. And he was referring to something specific. He was referring to the Passover Lamb. It's so significant in our own life. Because so many times we look to ourselves. It was only the fact that you had to have enough faith in the blood. You only had to have enough faith to apply the blood to your door to set you free. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that it had nothing to do with you? It had nothing to do with your works. As a matter of fact, there wasn't even a law yet by which you can measure yourself. There was no measuring stick to determine whether you are good or bad. It was simply faith in a sacrifice that set you free. I mean, it had nothing to do with who you were or what you'd done. It's not like as if the angel of the Lord first looked who is behind the door. It's not like he entered into the house to see who the person was. It had nothing to do with the individual. It had everything to do with the presence or the absence of the blood of the Lamb. So when John spoke up and he said, "Here is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world," he's saying something very powerful and very significant. Because our salvation has nothing to do with our works. It has nothing to do with our worth. It has nothing to do with our uprightness or our shamefulness. It had only to do with the blood. You know what? Israel was not set free in the receiving of the law. It was set free through the sacrifice of an innocent lamb and the blood that was visible. So many Christians today are still evaluating themselves according to the law to find some righteousness within themselves so that they can stand before God. But it's nothing to do with your merit. It's nothing to do with my merit. It's everything to do with His merit. Not mine, but His. Jesus said something very powerful. I said, "I have come not to abolish the law and the prophets, but I've come to fulfill them." And then John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Setting the stage, preparing the way for the fulfillment of every law, of every prophecy. You know what is so powerful? Jesus was crucified on the exact day of Passover. On the exact day when that nation celebrated their identity, celebrated that victory. It was on that exact day that Jesus was crucified. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Isn't that a powerful fulfillment of Scripture? So that we may know that our salvation is not dependent on our works. It's not dependent on who we are or what we've done, but it's simply on the blood of the Lamb. You know, John said something very powerfully. He said, "The blood of the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world." I mean, that for the Old Testament audience was a very powerful statement. I mean, I'll read to you here in Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 1 to 4. It says, "The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly, year after year, make perfect those who draw near and worship. Otherwise, would they not have been stopped being offered? For the worshippers would have been cleansed once and for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins, for it is impossible for the blood of goats and bulls to take away sins." I'll say it again. Under the law, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. And here John the Baptist comes to proclaim, the great prophet, he says, "There is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." You see, that's the big challenge of the worshippers in the Old Testament. They had a problem. They had a problem because their sacrifices could not make them perfect. They couldn't be perfected. Even though they tried, even though they continually offered them year after year, they couldn't be perfected. Because there's something lacking within the law. Those those sacrifices that they made, even though the law required them, couldn't take away their sins. It could only make atonement. In Hebrew, the word atonement literally means to cover. You take something and you cover your sins. And that's the only thing that the law could do. It could cover their sins, but it couldn't take it away. So you know what is the problem with that? You know what is the reality of only covering your sins? You still had a problem. You still had a guilty conscience. Because those sacrifices couldn't take away the past. It couldn't take away your sin. It could only cover it. And therefore, Scripture says they're still guilty for their sins. It wasn't taken away. Here comes John the Baptist and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." They had a problem with guilt. And guilt makes you hide from God. Because you know that you are not worthy to come in God's presence. You know that you don't stand in His righteousness. And you know what? If your conscience doesn't accuse you, the devil certainly will. The devil will remind you of everything that you've done in the past. And he will make sure that this rope remains tight around you. He will remind you of the things that you have done, the things that you continually do, the things that you cannot be free of, and that great and awesome sin that you've committed that nobody else knows about, that only God knows about it. Can God really forgive you for that act? So the devil uses guilt to keep us from God, to remind us. But God did something that changed my life. Something that changes every person's life that simply has faith. Sin is a very personal matter to God, but He dealt with it in a very personal way. And we read in that further in the same chapter in Hebrews from verse 5, we continue. It says the following. And we see a glimpse of a conversation that took place between the Father and the Son just before the incarnation. And the Son speaks to the Father. And He says, "Therefore, when Christ came into the world, He said, 'Sacrifices and offerings you did not desire.'" Sacrifices and offerings, God, you did not desire because it didn't really please you. It didn't really satisfy you. It didn't really take away the sin. It didn't satisfy your justice. It didn't satisfy your holiness. That blood of the bulls and the goats that were sacrifices endlessly, year after year, Father, it didn't satisfy you. So you prepared a body for me, Father. You prepared a body for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. Then I said, "Here I am. Here I am, Father. Here I am to do your will. Father, I will be the sacrifice. I will be the sacrifice, Father, that satisfies you completely. I will be the sacrifice that satisfies you to take away the sin, to deal with it once and for all. So here I am. I have come to do your will, my God." Because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. So Christ became the perfect Lamb, who had no sin, who had no shame, who had no guilt. The perfect Lamb. To satisfy God's holiness completely. We continue here in chapter 10, verse 8. It says, first, He said, "Sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law." Then He said, "Here I am, I have come to do your will." He sets aside this first to establish the second. "And by that will we have been made holy through the body and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ once and for all." Once and for all. Once and for all. When John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world," how amazing is that? That Christ Himself have come to be the perfect sacrifice. Once and for all. To take away the sin of the world. Once and for all. You know what Jesus' final words on the cross was? It is finished. It is finished. It's over. Once and for all. Never again. Never again, like in the Old Testament, do we have to come to Him over and over and over again to remind us of our sinfulness, to remind us of our past, and to struggle with the guilt that keeps us tied to the very thing that we want to escape. Because God said, once and for all, I have made a sacrifice that satisfies me completely. That is the good news. That is the gospel. We no longer need to be tied to our past because God has chosen a sacrifice that satisfies Him completely. For every sin. It doesn't matter how great. It doesn't matter how often. It doesn't matter how grave it was. You know what God says? It is sufficient. It is sufficient for me. You know, God is the first one that knows that we have sinned. God is the first one that sees when we wrong Him and when we wrong each other. God is the first one that says that we are guilty. But when God sees us, it's not that He ignores our sin or He tries to hide our sin. He sees it plainly, but then He sees the blood. And whenever He sees the blood, whenever He sees the blood in somebody's life, He says, you know what, that is sufficient. He looks at our sin, He looks at our guilt, and you know what He does? He looks at the blood and He says, you know what, that satisfies me. That sacrifice is sufficient. It doesn't matter what you have done. God says, my blood is sufficient. It is sufficient for every single sin. It is finished. And you know what? We are justified. It is a legal term. It means amends have been made for the offense. That is the good news. When John the Baptist stand up, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. How awesome is that? In 1 John 1 verse 7 we read that if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us of all sin. You can interpret it every sin. It doesn't matter whether you read it as all sin or every sin. It says the same thing. The blood of Jesus cleanses us of every sin. No matter how big, no matter how small. Every sin. It cleanses us of all our sins. All of them. All the 5,600,654 of them. All of them. The blood of Christ is sufficient. Once and for all, it is finished. It is finished. I want you to say every sin. All the sin. Once and for all. It is finished. Amen? It is finished. Can somebody just please take the suitcase away? Is there anybody? Jesus said, I've come to take away your sin. Not to cover it, but to take it away. There is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Is there anybody that can help me? I have a problem. Somebody, can somebody? No, I'm serious. Can somebody take away my sin? Yeah. No, come, take it away. Take it away. It's heavy. There's lots of it in it. You'll have to carry it. There's no wheels. Sorry. You see the difference. Now, if there's no longer sin, why do I still have a rope? It's not tied to anything anymore. It's gone. But you know what? There's so many Christians that still walk around with a rope around their legs that's called guilt. They're still tied to their past. They still feel ashamed. Because they do not understand that it is not about you. It's not about your merit. It's not about what you've done or what you haven't done. It's all about the absence or the presence of the blood of the Lamb. And if that blood is there, it is sufficient For every and all sin, and God has taken away your sin. It is finished. You know, when we have a guilty conscience, whenever we want to approach God, we are reminded of our past. We are reminded of our sinfulness. We are reminded of that barrier between us and God, His righteousness and my own righteousness. But you know what? Jesus Christ has come to remove that barrier. He's come to cleanse us. He's come to take away everything that would hinder us to come to God. It's no longer there. And He's made it known to us. He's made the fact known to us through His word. It is a fact. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. The sin is gone. It's a fact. And that's what God says. It's not what man says. It's not what I say. It's what God says. He's taken it away. That thing that devalues you, that thing that eats you from the inside, that thing that makes you ashamed, that things that is making you want to hide from God. God says, I have taken it away because of the blood of the Lamb. The question we need to ask ourselves if we struggle with guilt is, how do I enter? How do I approach God? Do I try to approach Him through my own works and my good conduct and my feelings? If we try to approach God through our good works, you know what? We will always fail. Because it's not by works that we have been saved, it is through faith. And you know what? If we try to approach God through our feelings, how I feel about myself and how I feel about my life, you know what? We will always fail, because it's not about how we feel, it's about what we believe. God didn't say, feel me. He said, believe me. I mean, you know, Christianity is not based on feelings, it's based on fact. It is the fact that God sent His Son. It is the fact that He was born from a virgin. It is the fact that He died on the cross. It is the fact that He raised from the dead. It is the fact that He lives again. It is the fact that His sacrifice is sufficient. And if you choose to have faith in that, that is enough. All you need to do is to apply that blood to your life. And it's not about feelings. You know, in Revelation 12 verse 10, we read about the accuser of the brethren, the Satan, the devil that comes to accuse us day in and day night. You know what? God deals with him exactly the same way. When he comes before God, he will say, you know what? Andres has sinned again. Look at him. And God says, yes, you're right, but look at my blood of my son. It is sufficient. And the accuser has nothing. You know what? When he comes to us and accuses us and he brings forth a guilty conscience, you know, we approach him the same way. We say, you know what? You're right. I have sinned, but Christ has died for me. And I've chosen to accept his sacrifice, and that is sufficient for God. It is sufficient for me. And you know what the devil does? He flees from you. He has no place. I mean, he says that in the end, we will overcome him by the... And... Isn't that powerful? It is the blood of the Lamb and our word of our testimony that we believe it. And he will run from us. And it works like that every single time. If we stand on the blood of the Lamb and we refuse to move from that, he will flee from you every time. But you know what? When he comes to accuse us, we have this tendency to look in ourselves to find some righteousness within ourselves that we can answer him and say, you are wrong. I did quiet time. I prayed. I gave a tithe. I helped the old lady across the street. I didn't lie. And that's all that the devil wants to do. He wants us to look away from the blood, to look to ourselves. Because then we become ineffective. Guilt starts to creep in. And you know what? Sooner or later, we start to hide from God because we do not feel worthy. It has nothing to do with us. That's the good news of the gospel. It's all about the blood. It's all about the blood. And your choice to apply that blood to your life. God says, I have made the sacrifice and it's sufficient, and all that you need to do is to apply that blood. That's all you need to do. Say, Lord, I thank you for this sacrifice and that it is sufficient for my life. My sin is taken away. It's no longer there. My guilt is removed. It is no longer tied to anything. And I can approach God without fear. Because it's not about my merit, it's about His merit. Every time I come to Him, into His presence, you know what? I come to Him based on His merit. I say, Lord, I thank you today that I can stand before you, Father, because of what you have done for me. Because of the sacrifice of your Son that satisfies you completely. God, I know I'm a sinner, God, but I thank you that that blood satisfies you completely. And I can stand before you, know that I'm justified because you say so, God. And I come before you, Father, and I pray that you will come and do in me your purpose and set me free. You know, if you still have guilt in your life, then you are not free. If there's still a rope around your leg, you are not free. And Christ said, I've come to set you free, and those who have set free will be free indeed. Nothing in your past is meant to hold you back in your pursuit for God. Nothing in your past is meant to hold you back in the pursuit of life. God says, I've given you everything that you need for life and godliness. Because I have purchased you. We sang it. The blood, it is my victory. The blood, it washes me. The blood, it saves me. Isn't that awesome? Let us close our eyes. I want you just to take a moment again. Just think about all the things that makes you feel distant from God. What are the things that prevent you from feeling completely accepted by God? What are the things that makes you feel guilty? What are the things that devalues you in your own sight? What are the things that eats you from the inside? The mistakes that you've made, the sins that you've committed, the wrong decisions that you've made. What are the things that you're hiding from everyone around you? I just want you to take a moment . If you are struggling with guilt, God wants to set you free once and for all. And if there's things in your past that shapes your identity, if there's things in your past that devalues you, if there's things in your past that eats you up, if there's things in your past that wants you to hide from God, God wants you to bring it to Him once and for all. Bring it to Him and say, Lord, here is my past. God, here is my sin. God, here is my shame. God, I want to bring it to you, Father, and I want to ask you to take the blood of your Son, God, because I'm going to apply it, God. I'm going to apply it to these things, God. I'm going to take it from you, Father. I'm going to take it, Lord. I'm going to thank you, God, that you've already sacrificed that lamb. And the bucket is in front of me with the blood. Father, I want to take that blood of your son, God, and I want to pour it on this past of mine. I want to pour it on this sin, on this shame, God, on this guilt of mine, Lord. Once and for all. And God, I'm going to choose to believe what you say about that blood, God, that it is sufficient. And I'm going to walk away from my past. I'm going to walk away from my shame, from my guilt, from everything that hinders me, God, to come into your presence with full assurance, with a clean conscience. In Hebrews chapter 10, while your eyes are closed, you can just listen. It says something as it continues in this awesome chapter. It says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, because he who promised is faithful. If that is you this evening, I want you to come forward with your past. I want you to come forward right now with those things. I want you to come forward, and we're going to come before God, and we're going to bring those things to him, and we're going to deal with it once and for all. If there's feelings of guilt, stuff that you have done in the past that keeps you back, I want you to respond tonight. I want you to be free. I'm going to ask you to come forward right now. As people are doing that, maybe you have regrets in your life, stuff that you regret to this very day, and it keeps gnawing at you. It's like every now and then you are reminded of it and you are ashamed. And it shapes the way you see yourself. It devalues you. I want you to respond. Maybe there is unforgiveness. There's some people here that has unforgiveness. I know I didn't speak about it. But there's some of you that are tied to individuals, to offenses in the past. And you need to be free. God wants to set you free. If that is you, I want you to respond. And there's some of us here tonight, we have turned away from God. We have turned away from him. Our hearts have grown cold. God says, come. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Don't think that I have not made provision for you. I want you to come back to me. If that is you, I want you to respond. And there are some people here this night, this evening, that you do not have confidence that if the angel of death were to pass by your life, that he will pass you over. That he will pass you over. He will pass you by. If you don't have confidence that if the angel of death were to walk by your life, that the blood is on your life. If you don't have confidence, I want you to respond also. If any of those things are applicable, I just want you to quickly come forward. Because you need to know when you leave this place that that blood is on your door. You need to know with confidence that if I stand before God tonight, I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to look to myself, because if we stand before God, and God help us, if we have to stand before him and try to justify ourselves, because we all have sinned, we have all wronged. And if you are not confident that you can stand before God knowing that the blood is in your life, you need to respond tonight so that you can have that assurance of life. And I want to ask you, if you're one of those that needs to make sure tonight that your life is right with God, if you're standing here tonight, I just want you to take one step forward. If you're doing this, because you are not sure about your eternity, I just want you to be very bold and just take a step forward. Is there anybody here? Is there anybody returning to God? Is there anybody coming from the very first time? Is that you? Is there anybody else? I'll give a moment. I want to specifically pray for you.